Well, we are right in the middle of a mission focus, if you might not know. But we have been going through a campaign, if you will, which is to give above and beyond the regular tithes and offerings to the North American Mission Board. So what happens is that offering that's collected above and beyond the regular tithes and offerings is given to the missionaries and church planters, and that's why we watch those videos, right? We watch those videos as somewhat of a testimony of what God is doing through the use of the resources that we have a privilege to participate. As we give, we get to see by way of those type of videos that God is working and He's using resources for His glory. And I warm my heart to see that video once again of what God is doing on campuses all throughout our country. There is revival that has taken place on many campuses throughout the country. That was a testimony of what God is doing. And so once again, throughout this month, we participate in that mission effort, that mission offering to support, once again, missionaries and church planters that get to reach people for Jesus Christ. So whether it's global or whether it is local, whatever it may be, we all get to participate in building up His kingdom. God has given us that privilege to be part of the ministry of reconciliation, something just developed not too long ago of where we can do something you might not even think of for ministry and mission purposes, and that is from a clothes closet, right? Now, there has been some dear ladies, mostly, but there's been men also involved that are involved in the clothes closet ministry. The prayer, the desire had always been for that clothes ministry to bless folks in the community, to show them the love of Christ. And it has through the years. There's been testimonies of that taking place. Even this past week, I'm reminded of a lady that came through that she needed clothes for her children. And so the clothes closet was a blessing to that individual. But believe it or not, this actually is going to go worldwide. I'm so excited about this. So this coming Tuesday, what has worked out and what has taken place is that there's been a connection formed with a group that is going from a sister church and has taken a mission trip to Africa. And guess what they needed? Clothes. Isn't that something? So this coming Tuesday, very appropriate, on St. Patrick's Day, that team is coming to our fellowship hall, gathering clothes, and in short, we'll be taking that trip with those clothes to Africa to show the love of Christ, to distribute the love of Christ to the children who need clothes in Africa to demonstrate the love of God. Is that awesome or what? And so just from old Concord, us turning in those clothes we don't need anymore, trying to clean out our closets and such, who would have thought that it has an opportunity to be used for God's glory? And so this morning, just a couple of examples, illustrations I have shared of both the opportunity to participate as a church in mission giving, but also, you can now say in mission sending that we have the opportunity to participate in those ways and many other ways in missions for the cause of God. So this morning, I want to talk about that very topic, being mission-minded, because we know it's close to the heart of the Lord. So I want to invite you to turn with me, if you'd be so kind, to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 15 will be our theme verse this morning as we launch this message and focus on what every believer in Christ should focus on, because we know it's close to the heart of the Lord. It's having this mindset for missions. Romans 10, verse 14 through 15 once again goes on to say this: how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings, of good things. Let us pray. Father, we come before you this morning, and there's so many things that we can think about. There are so many things that we can have a mindset for. But I know according to your word that you desire us to have a mindset for missions, to care about what you care about, because what you care about is about people. And you desire to see people have a relationship with you through faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you, O Lord, for the opportunity as your followers to be part of the ministry of reconciliation. Thank you for the opportunity to send missionaries all throughout the world, to give offerings to support them, to pray for them, but to also engage in missions ourselves as you give us opportunity to do so. So may we, O Father, have a mindset for missions as we seek to honor and glorify you. We do pray. Bless this time as we explore the important topic, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning as we launch our passage, I want to look at a few things, a few methods, if you will, for having a mindset for missions. What is a perspective we ought to have as we have a mindset for missions? Seeing people come to Christ through missional efforts. First of all, I believe that it starts with us having a heart for the Lord. It all begins with our heart being right with the Lord. It goes all the way back to the Old Testament, in which we see in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, the children of Israel are instructed to have this mindset, are instructed to have this perspective, are instructed to start right here, if you will. It goes on to say in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. The children of Israel were taught that so long ago that he must be prioritized. We see this in the New Testament reemphasized once again in the Gospels. And we see, for example, Mark 12, verse 30, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. In other words, put him first, love him most, and out of it will touch our hearts. Out of it will influence what is important to you. As Scripture says, where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. And so as we have a heart for the Lord, the things that are important to the Lord, we are going to invest in. The things that are important to Him, we are going to be important to us. And so if we get this first command right, often called the Great Command, I believe that we will then have a heart to then carry out the Great Commission. And all of us, as followers of Jesus Christ, are instructed to do that. We are called to carry out the Great Commission, to go into all the world, right? And to share and proclaim the gospel, this good news of Jesus Christ, with a lost and hurting world. So I believe that we ought to have a heart for the Lord. It begins with a heart for the Lord. If we want to have a mindset for missions, we're going to have a heart for the Lord. It's going to change the desires of our heart. We're going to seek Him with our heart, and He's going to flow within our heart. The love of God is going to pour out, and it's going to pour out on people, because God, once again, cares about people, and so should we. First command, love God. Great commission to carry out the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and hurting world. So we're going to have a heart for the Lord. That's first and paramount and priority, if you will. And then that's going to influence the fact that we are going to have a heart for the lost. Remember, during the life and the ministry of Jesus, when He was here on earth, on several occasions, as we go through the Gospels and such, you will see the record of Him going into towns and villages and such. And what did He do? He would look at the crowds and He would be moved with compassion. He had a heart for the lost. You know that I'm a sports fan. Very often, I like to watch on TV or attend sometimes the great stadiums and such. And it excites me to watch, and for example, if my team is playing, to hear the roar of the crowd. It's an exciting thing to me. But I wonder, as we go into those crowds, those multitudes, if you will, that are assembled throughout our country, when we see those crowds, how often are we moved with compassion for those folks, many of which we know are lost and are in need of the Savior? Warms my heart from time to time when you see revivals and ministry outreaches and things of that nature, the old crusades and what have you, when they fill up those stadiums with people and the gospel is presented. And then there's an invitation that is given, and so many within those great stadiums will come to Christ. You see, we ought to be moved with compassion as we see the crowds, as we see the multitudes. That's what Jesus did. As we follow His example, He modeled this for us. He was moved with compassion, and so it is that we ought to be moved with compassion as well. Back in the 1800s, an individual by the name of George Mueller saw the children of England and such, and he was moved with compassion because they were on the streets begging and stealing for food. And so he not only had pity on them, but he ended up starting orphanages. They say that money came in even though he didn't solicit money from people. He received all the resources that he ever needed to minister to the children that were orphaned and that needed help. I believe because he had a heart of compassion, he lived by faith, he stepped out in faith, he depended upon God. I believe because he had a heart for the Lord, that he also had a heart for the lost and had compassion upon them. And they say that over his prolific ministry, that over $100 million came in to meet the needs of the orphanages all throughout its tenure. What am I trying to say? I believe that if we have a heart for the Lord, we have a heart for the lost, that whatever resources that we need, that our God will provide. We're about the business of using the resources that He has entrusted us and wants us to have because we want to see the resources used for His glory and see some people come to Christ with the tools and the resources that God has and will give us. My God, your God, Father of Jesus Christ, shall supply all the needs according to His riches in heaven. And so it is that our resources belong to Him. He owns it all. He allows us to use those resources for His glory. When we have a heart for Him, when we have a heart for the lost, we are moved with compassion. And we desire to reach those lost for Jesus Christ. Referenced just moments ago, ironically, the collection of those clothes will take place on Tuesday, which is St. Patrick's Day, right? I don't know how many know the backstory and the biography of St. Patrick. I only learned it just a few years ago. To make a long story short, this gentleman, Patrick, was kidnapped as a child. He endured a lot of struggles and what have you through his childhood and such. And then he was finally able to return to his homeland. But he could not get away from the nagging desire to go back to Ireland, because as he had found faith in Jesus Christ, those captors for so long ago did not know Christ. They were very pagan in Ireland at the time, even at times doing human sacrifice. Hard to believe, isn't it? But this was the case in that day and time. Well, to make a long story short, Patrick went back to Ireland. And he went from town to town and village to village and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. And so it is that Ireland became at that time a Christian nation, leaving their pagan roots. Why? Because God loved those folks so much. And He put on the heart of an individual who had not planned to live in Ireland, but had been taken captive and had been taken hostage and grew up in Ireland. He moved in his heart that when he came to faith, that he couldn't help but go back to the people of Ireland and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them, because he loved the Lord and he had a heart for the lost. And the rest is history. And now we celebrate St. Patrick's Day all these years later. And so we must, if we want to have a mind set for missions, have a heart for the Lord, which I believe will lead to a heart for the lost. And then I believe that when we have this heart, that He will give us a mindset to be headed by the Lord. It's so very important, as we have reflected even recently within sermons just recently, that we always remember that Jesus is the head of this church. He's the head of the church of the living God. It is the body of Christ. He is the head of the church. And we must remember that as we pursue mission, it must always be centered on Christ. We must always spread the gospel. We must always engage in discipleship, because we know that's His model. We know that is His mindset, if you will. We know that's what He cares about. And so if that's what He cares about, as He sends on us on mission, if you will, we have that mindset that missions is a component of that mission that we have been called to do and called to be, for that matter. We must remember that we have to be guided by the Lord, centered on the Lord, headed by the Lord. We must be filled with the Spirit, as Ephesians 5 verse 18 says. And so it is that when we're filled with the Spirit, I believe that we can't help but have a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, a desire to spend time with the Lord, a desire and a passion to meet people and have compassion upon them and win them to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All of these things will be happening as we follow the Lord and His leadership. And so it is that we must walk obediently with the Lord. So it is that we ought to carry out the mission that He has given us, the Great Commission of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so it is that when we are Spirit-filled, in tune with the Lord, He's going to give us the power, He's going to give us the strength to carry out God's mission that He has called us to. Acts 1 verse 8 reminds us, it's what the early church was going through at the time. Things were just getting started. We're reminded, for example, that they had the strength, they had the power, they had the guidance, they had the direction from the Lord, the Holy Spirit specifically speaking. Acts 1 verse 8, it's the principle that they lived by in the early church. It's a principle that we ought to live by today. It goes on to say, but you shall receive power After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. In our terminology, we would say that we ought to be the witnesses for the Lord in Central Virginia, starting in Concord, if you will, extending to Central Virginia. We ought to be His witnesses in the state of Virginia, if you will. We ought to be His witnesses in the United States of America, the nation that we live in and that we love. We ought to be His witnesses all throughout the world, in the uttermost part of the world. Why? Because we love the Lord. He's given us a heart for the lost. We're following His leading and guidance and direction in our life. And so, at the end of the day, no matter if it's local missions or global missions, we have a heart, we have a passion to be part of His work. And we are reminded that it does not mean that it's going to be easy. We do face a fierce opponent. Satan and his demonic forces will come against us. We will literally put a target on our back if we live for the Lord, if we love the Lord, if we love the lost. Mark my words, you'll be under attack. But I've got great news for you. Greater is He that is in us, followers of Jesus Christ, than he that is in the world. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. As 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 through 58 remind us of, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Follower of Jesus Christ, sometimes we live in defeat. Sometimes we feel defeated in the battles that we face in life. But I've got good news for you, and something that we ought to think about, we ought to ponder, we ought to hold on to, we ought to live by, that we don't have to live in defeat because He has given us the victory. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ultimately, follower of Jesus Christ, you have victory over sin and death. You will spend eternity in heaven, promised by the Lord Himself and according to the Word of God. And you can have victory every step of the way as you live and you take steps of faith. As I believe we just referenced last week, if I'm not mistaken, or the week before, we go from faith to faith. Why? Because we take that step of faith and we can depend upon a faithful God. And so it is that we are saved by faith, but so it is that we are sustained by faith. And the God who remains faithful. Great is His faithfulness. And so it is that as the passage reminds us, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. As we even referenced recently, it certainly will be worth it all when we see Jesus. All trial will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So quickly run the race till we see Christ. And so as we referenced last week, we can go for the gold, because He will reward us for serving faithful, because He's a faithful God whom we serve. And so it is that we ought to have a heart for the lost. We have a heart for missions. We have been gloriously saved in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so it is that we need to have that heart. We need to have that mindset. And you might be thinking to yourself, all I can do is pray and give to missionaries. And let me just say, don't underestimate the influence that that has, because you are a part of God's work when you do so. But I would simply say this, that that's important, but you and I are also called to be a missionary. You might say, I'm not going to go overseas. and I doubt I'll go very far away from my home. But every one of us has neighbors, don't we? Now, I don't know about you. I'm just talking about myself for a second. I've had the privilege and the opportunity to go overseas, in fact, to Africa. But the challenge for me is to go across the street and to share my faith with my neighbor. Anybody relate to that? We need to care and love our neighbor. And according to the Word of God, everybody is our neighbor. And so it is that we must care and have concern for the folks that the Lord has allowed into our life, our circle of influence, if you will. It starts there, locally, in our neighborhood, if you will, in our homes at times, and then it goes further beyond and it extends globally. So the question I have for you is, how are you and I going to get involved and be engaged in the mission that is so crucial and so important to the very heart of the Lord, which is missions? It is a command. He says, go. As we are going, will we have the mindset for missions, the heart of love for our Lord, the heart of love for the lost, headed by the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Follower of Jesus Christ, what is our response to Him? Maybe you're here today, you never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I want to share with you that the mission field is now open as well, because you are God's mission. He loves you, and He cares for you, and He wants to transform your life if you never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And what will He do for you? If I might borrow from a lesson, a children's lesson, that I did some years ago, I simply want to borrow by way of symbolism what Christ does for you and for me. This is simply, as I shared with children long ago, a symbol, just a symbol. When the Lord looks at individuals, He sees from our human sinful nature sin. And if you will, symbolically represented by this symbolism of black. But oh, as we have heard it sung about this morning, God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son. He sent Him some 2,000 years ago to go to that cross, to pay for the remission of our sins, to reconcile us back to God the Father Himself. And so it is that He shed the blood of Jesus Christ on that cross for your sin and my sin. And so it is that as Jesus Christ has shed the blood for the remission of our sins, the blood represented by this red, as close as I can get, covers the blackness, if you will, the sinfulness of the heart condition, and makes us white as snow. That's how God will look at you, through the lens of Jesus Christ. If you place your faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So no wonder we say, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today, you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That victory can be yours today. What does it mean? By placing your faith in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sin, turning to Christ, receiving His forgiveness, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and by faith accepting that, confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believing that He died for your sins and died for my sins, that He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And as you receive that by faith, as you confess Him as your Lord, the Bible says you will be saved. The Bible says that part of that salvation means that you receive the Spirit of God to indwell your life, to seal you, first of all, to the day of redemption, to guide and direct the steps that you take, to walk with you all throughout this life. And then, when this life is no more, you, as a follower of Jesus Christ, go into the presence of Jesus Christ in heaven for all eternity. It is His gift. Will you receive it? Will you open it? Will you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and be gloriously saved? That is a question for you. What will you do with Jesus? As the worship team prepares to come forward and lead us in our time of invitation, join me as we go to the Lord and ask His blessing upon this time. Father, we have talked about what we believe is a very important to the heart of the Lord, which is missions this morning. We're reminded that as followers of Jesus Christ, You've given us all opportunities to be missionaries for the cause of Jesus Christ. You have said in Your Word that we are part of the ministry of reconciliation, and we thank You for that privilege to participate in Your work. You don't need us, we get it. You could do it all yourself. You could charge the angels with carrying out the gospel message. But You gave us the opportunity as children of the Most High God. Help us to be obedient to carry out this mission You have called us to. Help us to be missionaries for the cause of Jesus Christ, whether it's in our neighborhood, whether it's in our town, whether it's in our state, whether it's in this land that needs it so much, and whether it is all throughout the world. Help us to be part of, invested in all the above, local and global missions, we do pray as followers of Jesus Christ. Help our response to simply be this morning, yes, Lord, I want to be involved. Give me the opportunity so that I might be able to participate in this great work, this great mission, we do pray. Then, oh Lord, if there's one here that's never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, oh Lord, the invitation of Almighty God is to them right here and right now. You've said in Your Word that now is the acceptable day of salvation. So we pray, oh Lord, that they will receive Christ by faith, have their sins forgiven, cast as far as the east is from the west, so far has their sins been removed. And we thank You, Father, for that truth, the forgiveness that is in Christ, the grace and the mercy that is bestowed upon all individuals who come to Christ. And so we thank You, we praise You. And now, oh Father, we ask, oh Lord, to open the eyes of an individual that does not know You, so that they may see their need for You, respond and receive Christ as a personal Savior. This we do pray. Now, O Lord, we just ask, O Father, that You will be with this time of invitation. May You work in and through, guide and direct. May You be honored and glorified by what takes place. This we do pray. In Jesus' name, amen.